one that probably was most significant, that was toughest to leave, was being a lawyer. I was in a law firm. I'd practiced law for 10 years, had my name on the door, which is no small trick when your last name is Swindling. After the birth of our first child, something didn't feel right.
That's Linda Swindling. She joins me today on Intentional Living. Once a lawyer, all that training, all that preparation, testing, and now she's made a change in her life. You feel that way sometimes in your work? Is your work not working for you? How do you make a decision about your work, what you should be doing or not be doing? We're going to talk about that today on Intentional Living. I'm Dr. Randy from our Intentional Living Center, and this is a best of program, so our calls have already been recorded. But I tell you what, I would love your feedback. This would be a great opportunity to go to our Facebook page, or if you want to send me an email, connect with me and tell me your story of how you made a decision maybe to make a change in your work or direction for your life. When your work hasn't been working for you, what have you done to make it work for you? Okay, love to have you do that. So how do you handle things when work isn't working? We'll get into that in just a moment. Just before we do, however, I just want to remind you that we're holding the phone line this week for those who are supporting the ministry of Intentional Living. We're listener supported, and so we're setting aside several days as a gathering, asking people to come and be a part of the Intentional Living community, to support us each and every month with whatever God lays on your heart to support us. The average typical is about $1 a day, $30 a month. And by the way, I'll mention a little bit later again, but those who are joining us right now with a gift of $15 or more every month, or increasing that amount, or sending an annualized gift of that amount, we're going to be sending the Intentional Word Chronological Bible. It's the entire 66 books of the Bible in a 365-day reading program that'll take you through Scripture. So check it out. Go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. All right, let's get on with the show today, talking about when work doesn't work.
How did you find the right job for you?
There was a point in time when my children, my boys in particular, were 10 and 8 years old, and the job I had kept me from them. And so I asked the Lord, Lord, show me a job that I can have where I can be a father.
I was asked to fill in and work for someone, and it just led to a permanent position. And when I look back, I see that it really was the Lord's will to bring me into this job.
I took a little piece of each of the other jobs that I worked for with someone else and created my own.
Self-employed, huh?
Absolutely.
I was offered the job, and I told the guy, I says, I've never done that before. He said, I want you to have that job. I said, I can't do that. He said, sure you can. I said, let me think about it over the weekend. I came back in the weekend. I said, all right, understand, I can't do this. If you still want me, I'll take it. He goes, I still want you. I said, okay, I'll take the job.
Appreciate you sharing your story with us as well on our comment line, or our story line, when you call 888-888-1717. And, you know, there are five essential areas of life, and one of them is work. If you look at the Scripture, there's a lot said about work and the importance of doing everything we do unto the Lord. But, you know, some days you get up and say, you know, I'm doing it unto the Lord, but frankly, I don't feel like I'm in the right place. And we're going to hear a story about that today from our Intentional Living workplace expert and friend, Linda Swindling, is with us. Hi, Linda.
Hi, Dr. Randy. How are you?
Good. I understand this is sort of your journey.
Oh, it is. You know, I've had a lot of different jobs, but the one that probably was most significant, that was toughest to leave, was being a lawyer. I was in a law firm. I'd practiced law for 10 years. Had my name on the door, which is no small trick when your last name is Swindling lawyer. And it just, after the birth of our first child, something didn't feel right. And I didn't, you know, we'd gone to church, I'd prayed about it, and I finally...
When you say it doesn't feel right, what were you sensing? What were you feeling?
That I was putting a lot of effort into something that wasn't getting the results that I could be getting somewhere else.
So,
and what was so hard was, you know, I'd studied to do this, and I'd put in a lot of time, a lot of years, and it's almost an ego thing.
Yeah,
you know, so, to walk away from something that you know to kind of jump out into something you don't know.
So you were coming home feeling more drained than energized at the end of the day.
Energy drained, yes. Yeah. I even heard an old voicemail. You know, back then we had a tape recorder, so I heard the end part of a tape. And I just sounded like someone had beat me up. It was just sad, and I was complaining and whining. And honestly, I needed to get some help, and I needed somebody to help guide me through that process of, it's okay to take what you've learned and now apply it somewhere else.
All right, so what'd you do?
I hired a business coach. I had seen a program on TV, went to a conference, and met a Christian business coach, Elaine, and her last name's Morris, and she basically did some assessments on me, figured out some of my natural spiritual gifts, and said, how in the world did you become an attorney? This is not a fit, you know, based on what I'm seeing, and really, really worked with me for a year to try to build that practice, and then after that, what did I want to do later?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how did you become a lawyer? Was this family pressure or what?
Absolutely not. It was probably the reverse. We didn't really have any lawyers in our family. I had run through some careers. I had been a professional dancer, you know, tap, jazz, and ballet, and come to school on a dance scholarship, and went into broadcast journalism, and that wasn't quite a fit. And I remember, this is terrible to say, but I remember a teacher in high school saying, well, you would never be a good lawyer. And my personality is like,
oh, I'll show you.
Yeah, I'll challenge you. I'll be miserable for 3 years in school and 10 years in practice.
Yeah, were you miserable in the school, too? I mean, did you know now in retrospect that going through even the training wasn't energizing to you?
I knew the first week of law school.
Wow.
And I am stubborn. And I also, you know, the legal training taught me things that I use every day. And it taught me how not to be so emotional and be more strategic. And it really taught me how to survive in a competitive environment. And I didn't know how to do that. So it gave me incredible gifts. And I found ways to negotiate my way through law school. You know, how I found friends and peers and mentors and professors I still stay in touch with. But, yeah, it wasn't a natural fit.
Yeah.
And everything up until that point, when I ran organizations, when I spoke, those were natural fits. Writing was a very natural fit. And that's what's really hard, is admitting, you know, I think I might have made a mistake here.
Well, which is hard. I mean, you've had a tremendous amount of investment by this time, money, time, energy, reputation, career, and then all of a sudden, you know, I want to go do something else, maybe some other direction. Hold on, Linda, I'd like to have you come back and tell us about what happened through that process of consulting and what you're doing now. And what do you say to someone who may be feeling what you felt back then?
This is Lori Allen. Perhaps I was asked to talk about getting along with coworkers because I've survived the worst our broken world has to offer. The paranoid, the backstabbers, the gossipers, the thieves, the manipulative, and the merely unkind. If you have avoided workplaces without running into these kinds of bosses or office mates, count your blessings. It does seem as if some people thrive on putting others down or creating extra unnecessary work. When this happens, I think to myself, misery loves company. If you have worked with these so-called humans, you may have even brought them to Jesus, and they may have even changed their ways. As difficult as it may be to discover the good in your cranky, grumpy colleagues, look at them the way God would, with love. And remember, Jesus died for them, too. You may still want to pull your hair out, scream, and stomp when one of these mean people lies in a meeting or takes credit for the 3-month project you did. Here's a comforting line to use at such times. At least I don't have to marry this person. If you're already married to him or her, let me know. I'll pray for you. For Intentional Living, I'm Lori Allen.
Thank you, Lori. Always good counsel for us today on the Intentional Women Spot. If you have something you'd like to share, what God has been doing in your life, maybe around this topic today of not being satisfied where you are in the workplace, you want to honor Christ, but you're being de-energized, you're being drained with what you're doing, you know there's got to be something that's going to be more intentional for you and your life and your time. Tell us your journey. Tell us what you're learning, maybe even the journey you started out at, as you call 888-888-1717. Linda Swindling, who joins us often with good advice in the workplace, was an attorney, said, that's not energizing in my life, went through consulting, made a change. What did you learn, and what have you done?
One thing I learned was I didn't have all the training I needed. So I went and got some training in negotiation skills and in mediation. So sometimes you have to learn some things before you can move.
Yeah.
The other thing was I had to put the ego aside, and I had to put the, oh, I've invested all this time, and really look at what have I learned? What am I going to do with it? And then I had to have that really tough discussion with my husband. And do you know what? It wasn't as tough as you might think. He knew I'd been miserable because he'd been living with me all this time.
he'd rather have a happy wife than a miserable wife who maybe is making more money.
Happy wife, happy life. You got
yeah,
it.
Exactly.
And I think that was probably the permission I needed, was for him to say, you know, I've always wondered why you stayed with it this long, because you've been miserable. And he's always been very supportive. So having somebody say, you know, there's other options. The other thing is, I didn't know that what I wanted to do, speaking professionally and helping people, you know, grow, I didn't even know that was a career option. And I think that's something that we forget about. We just know what our family's done, our friends have done, or maybe what we've grown up with. There may be a totally different option or career that's developed just since you've been, you know, practicing or working in your job.
That's very true. How long ago was that you made that switch?
I did it right before our second child was born, so I can kind of track. I started transitioning after the first one was born. It took me about 3 years to get out of law. And I became a mediator and did all these things, but it wasn't big enough. It wasn't a big enough platform, and I wasn't helping enough people. So it's been 17 years. And I've done it for 13.
So you made a change. You become a consultant, speaker, and author. How is your day different today, personally, than it was when you were practicing?
Now I help people speak for themselves. Before, I was speaking on their behalf. And it's a total change to see someone say, you know, I want to be intentional in how I speak. I can handle this problem. And most of the time, they're like me. They needed encouragement to try something a little different. May feel uncomfortable, but that's different. It's fun to work with the people I work with. I can say no. I can do work that really is work that I was created to do.
What are two or three things a person today who resonates with your story should do next in the next 30 days?
First off, forgive yourself. Do not beat yourself up because you've taken a path that now isn't working. Make a list. Say, what have I learned that I did not know 5 years ago, or whatever it is? Secondly, go find other people who are similarly situated. There's all sorts of job networks. It's not just for people who are unemployed at this time. It's people who are searching. And third, find somebody who's a guide, someone who will give you objective feedback, godly feedback, people who care about you. Find somebody who can actually help you walk through some of this path, because this is, it's an education just like anything else you do.
Well, Linda, thanks for joining us today, and I think somebody's got motivated. I can just sense some listener somewhere said, hey, she's got me thinking, and I'm going to get intentional in the next 30 days and really seek what God may have that's going to be more fulfilling and more beneficial for kingdom work. And let us know if that's a step you're taking. That's your 30-day challenge. Tell us about it when you call 888-888-1717.
I am going to be intentional about learning how to use a computer. I have a fear of computers. I've taken numerous classes, panicked, and rushed out of the room. I haven't listened before, and I am going to make it a point to conquer this fear. Thank you.
I just wanted to share what I want to be intentional about our work. My husband's been out of work for 3 years, and he's been putting applications in everywhere. I know that God has a plan for us, but sometimes I worry too much because of financial difficulties. I want to be intentional and not worrying about things. I was just going to let you know I love your guys' show, and to let anybody else who's out there struggling without their husband working, that God will take care of you.
Boy, that's a good reminder. He will, and I can hear your sweet voice, the fact that you're trusting him, even though you're very concerned on the inside. And I don't think that's unheard of. I mean, in our lives, we're human beings, and when we go through difficult times, it's hard not to worry. But we know we should trust, but it's hard not to worry. And I think of the passage that says we should be anxious for nothing, Philippians chapter 4, where Paul says, "But in everything with prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make your request known to God, and then the peace comes," doesn't it? Then the peace comes. Today, we're talking about not being in the right place, and maybe you don't feel like you're in the right place in the work today where God has you, but maybe it is where God has you, and you have to challenge your own emotions because you have to be, if you can't be content where you are today, you're not going to be content where you want to be tomorrow. Now, discontentment can get us into trouble, but a little bit of discontent allowing us to be pushed in a new direction can also be a healthy thing. It's a matter of really learning to trust God, isn't it?
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible entirely by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
When you get out and you're performing in a cruise setting, I know it can be a little different on the stage when the boat is moving along and rocking
well,
a little
bit. Well, see, I told people, I said, weavers wobble, but we don't fall down. That's the thing. You know? And so that has happened several times on the cruises. In fact, one of my favorite memories from a cruise, because I know you guys know my friend Mark Schultz, and Mark Schultz accidentally took too large of a dose of Dramamine trying to cope with that, and had one of the most interesting musical sets I've ever heard in my life. It was really incredible. He was extra funny that night. Let's just say that. It was really good.
That's good, yeah. That's Big Daddy Weave, Mike Weaver. And you've been hearing us talk about this for the last several weeks, and now we're at the point where if you're going to make the decision, this is the time to do it. Love to have you be a part of it. We have room for you on the Alaska cruise coming up June 12 through 19. Big Daddy Weave will be leading us in worship and praise. We're going to be having dinner together as our own community, our own group. And the tours, you can take all the tours that you want during the day and the sightseeing. And when we're at sea, we'll be having some times together of worship and praise. And I'll be teaching. And Evan Carlson, our ministry president, will be sharing as well. We're just going to have a fantastic week. We just want to get together and get to know you better and have an opportunity to really fellowship with people of like mind and heart. And boy, do we need that now more than ever, to be in a community of believers, breathing some fresh air. I think we're going to look forward to that as well. So again, if you've been waiting to get that cabin, this is the time to do it and come and join others who are signing up every week. Just go to theintentionallife.com. The information on the cruise and how you can sign up is there for you at theintentionallife.com. So get your cabin or cabins now. Maybe you're going to, we have families coming, we have couples coming, we have singles coming. We want you to be a part of it as well. Go to theintentionallife.com.
Hi, Dr. Randy. I'm a 45-year-old mother and grandmother who has been very intentional in the fact that I have returned to college to finish my degree.
What I'm doing intentionally is going back to school as a nurse. I'm living intentionally for my future financially.
My eating's intentional. I'm even healthy now. Just changing things, being intentional in trying to do things to save my health, save my life.
I think the intentional living part for me is that I'm finding ways to give back to my community and making that an intentional part of what I do every day.
The two ways that I'm trying to live intentionally, one is to just simply not overlook the obvious in life, and the other one would be to listen for what is being said and not to just listen for what I want to hear.
Oh, wow. That's pretty profound. You know what I really am learning myself as I hear the stories that continue to flow in here to our storyline is that each of us take this thing of living intentionally, and we have our own unique sort of story. It's not a cookie cutter thing. It comes back to the simplicity of we want our lives to matter. We know that we're here for a purpose. We know at the end of the day what we do. If we're a follower of Christ, there's something within us. We know that we're here to bring glory to Him. And that ultimately is why each story is different, because each of us are wired differently. Each of us are at a different stage in life. If you're a mom or dad with little kids at home,
Right now, you bring glory to Christ by being intentional with those kids. They will leave some point, and you're going to focus on other things that constantly we're looking in our lives, the stage we're going through, where we are, and choosing to be intentional in that area of our life. Come share your story with us. I really mean that. It's just a simple story of how you're being intentional. It doesn't have to be profound. Just be real. 888-888-1717. Well, we have Mike on the line today in Missouri. Hi, Mike.
Hey, Dr. Andy. How you doing? I appreciate you taking my call.
Well, glad you got through. Tell me, what's your question for me today?
Yeah, I was kind of having a question about hypnosis. I'm in my 40s, but the last 8-10 years, I've been having a lot of anxiety. I've been on probably about 18 different medicines from the doctor, you know, for this, and that doesn't seem to be helping. I've talked to a Christian psychologist, and he kind of said that I had probably a separation anxiety. I've had some losses in my life. I am a Christian. I love God. You know, faithful reader, and you know, the Bible and everything. And anyway, I'm still having a lot of trouble. And I was thinking about maybe trying to check out the deal of hypnosis to see if that would help.
Well, Mike, let me see if I understand. You have anxiety. Is the anxiety keeping you from functioning?
Yeah, I've lost my job and everything, and so now all we have is my wife's income. I'm pretty much stuck in my little hometown area. I don't leave and go anywhere.
You get anxious when you leave the house. You get anxious in crowds. Is there certain settings that you're more anxious than others?
When I have people around me, family and friends, when I start getting anxious, you know, I can talk to them. And I mean, not just about this, but, you know, maybe about a football game or just anything. And it gets my mind off of it, and I start feeling better. And so when there's not people around me, I start really getting anxious and scared. I know for a fact that, you know, if I'm stuck at my house by myself, I'm not going to, like, blow up and explode and die. I mean, you know, I understand that, but I have trouble getting my mind to keep racing, you know, really dirty thoughts.
And then you get really obsessive thoughts. You get very obsessive thinking and so on.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, let me share with you a couple things I think is important, Mike, as we think about hypnosis. I don't have a lot of experience with hypnosis. I took a class in hypnosis as part of my training, and I know that hypnosis is used for such things as, you know, anxiety and also for addictions and so on. The challenge I have with hypnosis, the concern I have with hypnosis, is it's designed in part to modify altered state in some fashion. And there is a level of, in my reading, a level of suggestibility during those times. And the question is, what's being suggested? What are you putting in to your mind during those high levels of suggestibility? Is it scripture? Are you being filled with the truth? Are you being filled with things that will honor Christ? Or is there things that are going to be filling your mind during this process that may be contrary? At the same time, I understand that hypnosis is not what the average person thinks, you know, that some way or other, you know, someone's waving a clock in front of your face and then they take over control of your life. But it is an opportunity for people to work on their thinking. I guess to answer your question, Mike, directly is it wouldn't be my first recommendation. Of course, you've been through a lot, it sounds like, with medications and psychologists. Anxiety can be a debilitating problem. I think what I would encourage you to do, Mike, is to seek one trusted Christian psychiatrist or a good psychiatrist that you trust and get with that person and allow them to really work with you on a treatment program, because it sounds like maybe you've tried a lot of different things over time but haven't stuck with any one thing. Does that make sense?
Like the medicine, been to a couple different doctors, and most of it just clouds my thinking and my, you know, and stuff like that. And then, of course, you can watch TV and figure out what all the side effects are.
Yeah, I mean, well,
you know,
I think what's really important, Mike, is that you get a with a professional, with a psychiatrist. You know, I'm not a medical doctor. I'm not a physician. And so when we speak of the medications, we talk about some of these psychiatric issues. I think you're better to be under the treatment of a person who's really a professional in this area and be intentional about it. And I, you know, spiritually, let me just add this. From a spiritual standpoint, there's a great passage, if we can just understand it, in Philippians chapter 4, where the Bible commands to be anxious for nothing but everything in prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving. It's a triad. I look at it as the three legs of dealing with anxiety spiritually. And if we take these three and we apply them every day to our lives intentionally, it can be a great help and a part of the treatment of getting healthy. We'll be praying for you, Mike. Thank you for your call at Intentional Living. This is Intentional Living. We talk about how an intentional life can save your life. If you allow this, the energy, the power of the Holy Spirit to fill your life, you may save your life. You may save a marriage. You may save your spirit. You're going to save yourself a lot of misery in life. Boy, do I believe that. You think about life, and we all can look back and have moments of regret, maybe moments of indecision, moments that we now realize we weren't adequately prepared for. But don't you all have those thoughts, if I could only go back to that day or this moment? We can't. We're here today. And that's the good news of intentional living, is that we believe that we can get up today and make a decision. That's one of the first steps of intentional living, to say, listen, God has something better for my life, a better direction, better decisions, more hope, more peace, more purpose, more direction, and you can start that journey today. And the lesson this month is on how intentional living can save your life. And as I mentioned earlier in the show, those who are joining us today, because we're holding the phone lines open, I'm calling it our gathering week, those who are calling to share in support of the ministry, we're making available, when you call, as a way of saying thank you for becoming a monthly member of Intentional Living. If you can join us with a gift of $15 or more a month, or increasing that support, we appreciate it. We need your help. We're going to send to you the chronological Bible, the intentional word. It's the entire text of the Bible in 365 daily readings. All you have to do is go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. When you're there, not only is information on the cruise that we talked about a little bit ago, but you can find the information on donate. Click the donate button, and that's there for you. Don't miss out. We want to get this into your hands with this upcoming Easter season. What a fantastic time to get God's Word and read chronologically through that Passion Week. It's our gift to you as you stand in support of the ministry. Information at theintentionallife.com. I'm Dr. Randy. Got to run. We'll see you next time from Intentional Living.